Blog Talk Radio.
Is it really possible to add 10 to 20 yards to your drives? To double the number of fairways you hit? How about knock 5 strokes off your score?
Bye.
That was Count Basie playing on the piano, and it is Count Basie Big Band. This is Dr. Walter Dean, and you are on the show called Getting It Done. So our guest this week is the great Count Basie. William Basie, or should I say William James Count Basie, was born August the 21st, 1904. Passed on April the 26th, 1984, was an American jazz pianist, organist, band leader, and composer. In 1935, Basie formed his own jazz orchestra, the Count Basie Orchestra, and in 1936 took them to Chicago for a long engagement and their first recording. He led the group for almost 50 years, creating innovations like the use of two split tenor saxophones, emphasizing the rhythm section, rattling with a big band, using arrangers to broaden their sound, and others. Many musicians came to prominence under his direction, including the tenor saxophone player Lester Young and Herschel Evans, the guitarist Freddie Green, trumpeters Buck Clayton and Harry Sweet Edison, and singers Jimmy Rushin, Helen Humes, Thelma Carpenter, and the great Joe Williams. What can I say to you to give you an information necessary for you to understand what a genius we had when we had the great Count Basie? What I'm going to do is I'm going to see if I can play something so people can actually hear somebody talking about his greatness. Let's listen.
When he'd make an introduction and he opened up a door as wide as a house for you. I mean, all you had to do was just get in there. First of all, in jazz music, it's a feeling about the music that really makes it what jazz is all about. And Basie has that.
Basie knows time and temper. And that's what he's striving for. Time and temper. He knows just what temper is good enough and work on this. That's one of the things.
Basie is a Leo, and that's the lion. You know, the lion is the lion. If you look at a real lion, when this lion is eating and feels comfortable, I mean, you know, birds can pick all over him, and they look at you, and, you know, and there's no excitement there, but he's aware of everything.
I first got to know Basie when he was at the Lafayette Theater in 1931 with Benny Moten's band. Luckily, I used to hang out at the speakeasy, which was right behind the stage door of the Lafayette, of course, which was called Coban's Morocco Club. And they had a beat-up old piano there, which Garland Wilson used to play. And between shows, Basie would hang out at the Morocco Club and have a taste, which is what it was called, of alcohol. And then he would play the piano. That's the first time I really got to know Basie in the flesh. And he was Bill Basie. Basie joined Benny Moten. I think that he and Eddie Turner made the band a little bit more modern than they had been, because I've been listening to Benny Moten ever since I was in school, when I was about 12, 13. And they still had that kind of old style, which was in style at that time. But Basie came along, and with Eddie, they made some, they had new ideas for the band.
See, Benny Moten wasn't polished too well with Britain. Modern style. He had some kind of old style, right? Kansas City, the musicians there had some sort of a style that wasn't any place. I was discussing it with Harold Sanger the other night, and that's where it was, but out that way, those musicians still had a style.
Right.
It was established right in Kansas City. A lot of them say New Orleans, a lot of them say a lot of other places. But Kansas City is where it was. But a lot of guys come from Texas, New Orleans. And they sit right there, and that's why the battle started. See, we couldn't change the band with just ideas. We had to change men to get some of the ideas away. And that's how they started putting in different guys. And that's one thing helped, because some of the guys you couldn't change is our first thing. You make a room, it's going to sound just like Benny Moten. You don't care what you have to hear, they were playing it. You could interpret to them better. See? Benny Moten was an excellent piano player. And his nephew was an assistant piano player. And Basie came in the band, and he wanted to play piano. So we had three piano players. So we were walking down the street one day, and we saw an accordion. Basie said, "Let's get that accordion for Bus." And that's how Bus got on the accordion. But I just found out that his eye didn't get on the piano. Yeah, and I was thinking of that the other day. Thank you.
in taxi cabs across the man to the side of the hotel. I said, don't worry about it. He said, I said, what do you want to do? He said, man, I'd like to go to New York. I'd like to go to Atlantic City. I said, you can't. So we used to buy a newspaper. And wherever it said Duke Ellington, General Nelson, or Cab Calloway, we'd put our hand on it and say, Count Basie's appearing here. We ain't getting nowhere. But we had a dream.
Played drums twice. I was trying to play piano then, you know. And I was playing with Tommy Douglas Band. It's a cherry blossom. And Walter Page says, how would you like to play on bass in band? I said, no way. I ain't ready yet. So nothing was happening to do. We went to Topeka, Kansas. When I'm sitting up in the bass in band, I'm doing all black. We're talking about Spade and Lester Young. I'm doing all right until they played After You Gone. And Lester Young played one chorus. Then he stood up and took the second chorus. I started to jump out the window. They had to find me to pay me off. So when they did find me, they took me back to Kansas City. I said, Mr. Basie, you got a nice band. I hope you go far. I am going back to Omaha, and I'm going to go back to school. Goodbye. You can't. I said, I'm going. Well, I don't see Mr. Basie no more, so I'm in Minneapolis, and I don't like it. So I came back into Kansas City. No band, no job, no money. So we decided to organize. We got Hot Lips Page, Buster Smith, Walter Page, Page, and myself. We worked for Chief and respect. We worked for $1.50 a night, 2 free beers, spaghetti, and meatballs.
I just left Shanghai. I was making about $200 a week over there at that time. I come back to California, I was making about 100. I go to Kansas City and I join Basie, and my salary went down to $14 a week. $2 a night. 7 nights from 10 to about 3 or 4 in the morning. And even then, the guy, after Lips had left, remember Saul?
Yeah.
Basie said, Saul, I got a new trumpet player. I'd like to put him in Lips' place. Saul says, no, I can't stand that. And I said, Lips is gone. There's $2 less I have to pay, so I can't put it up anymore. So the guys in the band were making $2 and a quarter a night. So they all chipped in their quarter and made me get $2 a night. So that's where I'm going to count, $14 a week.
The bass and rhythm section, 2 things, spiritually and mentally. That's the only explanation I know. It was there, it will always be there. And as long as Freddie Green is with Count Basie, you're going to hear it. Because Fred is playing for Walter Page, and Fred is playing for me, along with Basie. So that's it. It's a sad part. Fred Green, Basie, and myself. But right over there is Walter Page. When you see Fred Green, Basie, and myself together, don't nobody come around, because Walter Page is right there. Walter Page was my father. Walter Page was my son. Without Mr. Walter Page, you would never have heard about Hot Lips Jimmy Basie. Count Basie.
The only time there was ever even a problem in our relationship with Basie was when he decided. It was decided for him that he would go to Victor. he had been with Columbia for a long time, and I was trying to get him for a label that I was with, and it didn't come through. Unfortunately, it would have been much better for Basie if it had gone through, because his experience with Baker was so disastrous that's when he had to give up his big band and have the small band with Buddy DeFranco. But luckily that only lasted a couple of years. Thank you.
been the bassist band as a clarinet player. And I just, I always kept my saxophone with me because I've been a lead alto player all my life, one way or the other. And we traveled around for a while, clubs, etc. And I think around the spring of 1951, I think Willard Alexander and a few people talked him back into getting a large orchestra. We went through that, and I started helping to organize the thing. I was his, you can call it a music director, so I'm the guy that rehearsed the band and helped in any manner possible to make his band a playing success. I thought it was an excellent band. I think it's one of the best bands anybody ever had, bassist band of the 50s.
In the early Basie's band, they had made names for themselves, and they were, some of them won, you know, they won a star status. But in the 50s band, it was like we were all more or less starting from scratch again, you know. And Basie being a very wise band lead, I mean, the way I saw it, he let us have the feeling as though like it was our band in a way, because it which gave us a certain pride. And this pride built up into a great family, a great relationship among all of us. And I think that was one of the big points that I remember about this last band. We seemed to do everything more or less together. We worked for each other. It wasn't so much we all wanted some recognition, of course, and but I think it was the team work together that really made that band outstanding, and made everybody want to work in that to make it good.
My man don't love me. He treats me all so mean. My man, he don't love me. He treats me all so mean. He's the lowest man that I've ever seen.
Saved up about $1,700 before he got to Birmingham. That's the way he was going. The night before we got to Birmingham, he had his money and he glad he could go see his mother. And prayers got him into a crap game because we'd all be asleep on the bus. And prayers would get these two crap, these two dice. And he rolled it up in there and hear these, everybody's sleeping here, two dice. Prayers would say, sweet music, sweet music. So we'd go back in the bus and shoot craps for about 10 hours. And out came and lost his $1,700 just before we got to Birmingham. That morning, we got to Birmingham by 10 o'clock. At 9 o'clock, he lost his last dollar.
You keep your new dark yard. I'm going to Illinois just as fast as I can. The usual young women think you fool a fool of any man. You play all kinds of games. You will cheat if you can. But like a Zulu, make a man a fool, but a beautiful motto. But I've got my money, that's it. How can you mind if I do it?
In retrospect, now I can look back on it. But while it was happening, it was like
fantastic. I didn't believe I was rehearsing with Count Basie's band. But by now, I want to know whether I'm with the band or not, whether I have a job so I can cut loose all of this Charlie Ventura and the rest of this. So I asked Basie. I was so afraid of him, naturally. He's Count Basie and I'm those Benny Powell from New Orleans. So I didn't know how to exactly say, Count Basie, do I have a job? So I think I kind of eased next to him and said, trombone section sound all right? Something like that, you know. I'm expecting him to say, yeah, it's fine, you got a job. So finally I said, well, am I with the band? He said, you're here, aren't you, kid?
I was in the Army in Korea in early 1952, and somebody brought a copy of Downbeat magazine to the place where I was stationed. And in it was an article on Count Basie, pictures of Lockjaw and Paul Quinchet. You may remember this article. And I remember reading the article and saying, boy, how I would love to be with that band. Not knowing that about 6 months later, I was to be with the very same band. Because when I got discharged in May of that year, I was walking down the street in Detroit, Michigan. I ran into a hometown buddy of mine who said, hey, man, Count Basie looking for you. Just like that. And I said, oh, yeah. I'm looking for him, too. Whatever it is, take me to him. Take me to my leader.
I really wasn't interested in the road.
That was a Frank Foster. I had to stop right there and let you know who Frank Foster was. Frank Foster is the one that introduced me to Count Basie when Joe Williams left and they needed a singer, and he vouched for me as a singer. I'll go on. I'll tell you a story about it later on, but let's continue.
But what he said that made me join the band, made me accept his offer, was that he said, well, look, I can give you more exposure than you've had, you know. So I started thinking about that. I said, yeah, well, maybe that's what it is, you know. And then I said, well, look, I got to have a salary because I never went to nobody without a salary. I went in 46 with Bill Eckstein. I was on salary all the time, you know. So he said, okay, you know, we got together and salary, okay. So I was on salary for 11 years with Basie, you know, whether I worked or not. You know, that's the only way I would leave. But actually, I had given up on the road by the time I
When I asked him about my salary, and I was just so much in awe of this man. If he looked at me, I was like a teenage girl looking at Elvis Presley. You know, it's like he said, "How you doing, kid?" I trembled. I think he must have thought that I didn't like him because I was too choked up to speak to him. But anyway, when I finally got my courage up and asked him, "Mr. Basie, what about my salary?" He said, "Oh, we'll take care of you, kid." And that's the end of the
day. We played Atlanta, and after the gig that night, I was up to Red's Club. We was at a club upstairs there from the hotel, Peacock, you know, whatever. Anyway, I was up there, and I was drinking, you know, and I was feeling pretty good. I was about drunk. And Basie had seen me up there, you know. So when I got back to the hotel, Papa Jack came out and said, Chief wants to see you. Okay. So I'm stoned. I go back and he goes over to his room. Yeah, Cap, you want to see him? He says, yeah. And he goes through his thing and he's telling me how much, how hard it is for him to keep the band together and how much he had to go in debt to reform the band and, you know, and all the humiliation that he's going to have to go through. But he's just going to have to live it down and get his things back together and everything, and how the transportation was eating him up and all of this. He just, you know, he told me everything he could think of. But, you know, like I know, you know, I've been through all this before, so I didn't say anything. You know? I didn't say yes. I didn't say no. I didn't nod yes. I didn't nod no. I just stood up and looked at him. And he talked. And then he'd start back through his story again. And I still didn't say, And about the third time around, you know, I said, hey, Bass, you know what? I was just thinking, why you ever hired Jimmy Russian to sing the blues the way you can try?
He said, well, you always got your horn tuned up. And that was the end of that, and he never bothered me anymore.
He never bothered me anymore about my salary.
The thing is, you have to know how to talk to Bass, you know, because as long as you are around him any kind of way, you've always got some mind game going on with him. Everybody.
Oh, yeah.
He's got a mind game going on with everybody in the band. And he's always got something going with you, and you got to stay on your toes. If you don't, you know, you ain't going to make it. You couldn't just go to Bass and say, I want a raise. You know, that's just, you know.
It wasn't like that.
It wasn't like that. You know, you can't do that. See, like, if I wanted some more money, I'd go to Bass and I'd say, you know what, Bass? I need a job. You know? What do you mean you need a job? Because this one ain't working out right. You know what I mean? So automatically, he knows by that day he's got to give me some more money. I'm gone. You know what I mean? So that's where, you know, you can't just come and say, give me some money, you know.
As hard as we have been working the past years before things start happening to me, I start falling apart. But we're going to cut away. We've been doing like
like 100% now, we'll probably be doing like a 70-30 or something like that.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe a lot less than that. You know?
Yeah.
And so there we go.
What's happening? What, how did you two meet? I meant to ask you that quite some time.
We do.
Katie and I?
Yes.
Your mom?
Yes.
That's none of your business. I mean, keep it clean.
Well, I wish you always got to be clean. That's the only thing. Well, that's something that is even you not going to know anything about it. Can you read it?
Oh.
Or you're writing it.
Oh, so you've got a book in the process.
That's right. Yeah, that's the only reason I'll tell you in a minute, you know.
Oh, good. I'll buy the first copy.
No, the first copy you have already.
Oh, you will have. Nice.
All right.
Mrs. Basie, do you find do you find yourself on the road full time now?
Yes.
Yeah.
I have to come take care of the daddy. He's been taking care of me for about 39 years, and now I come out to take care of him.
Do you think that there'll be any new projects coming out musically for you and for the band? Do you have anything in mind that you're thinking about, that you're working on, that I can look forward to?
Why, well, you can look forward to a couple of things which I wouldn't like to mention right now because, I don't know, you might be thinking about that pretty hard.
Mm-hmm.
And then, I don't know just about how that's going to work out. I got to give that some more thought, you know.
Oh, yeah.
I've got to sleep a little bit on that.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yeah.
And what is not a thing like that you do? Mm-hmm. Like, where you are now, I mean, you did quite a bit of sleeping on it, you see?
Yeah.
See, but I knew you were sleeping on something, you know? And then, of course, I used to say, what are you thinking about now? He said, well, nothing, I mean, so, but right on.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, of course, you've got to think about a few things. I've got a lot of things that are new and going to be a little different, you know, but just about the same thing, but quite a little different, a little flavor.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we just always got to do something a little different because today things seem to be catching up a little bit. What's been happening?
Very.
There's got to be another little different little taste for looking forward to, right?
This is Dr. Walter Dean, the host of the show called Getting It Done. You've been listening to an autobiography of an historical structure of the great Count Basie with jazz documentation of the kid from Red Bank who was Willie Wing Basie. The Dutch voices over were with Eddie Dunham, Joe Newman, John Clayton, who was an excellent bass player, Eric Van Leer, John Hammond, Buck Clayton, Joe Jones, Vic Dickerson, Benny Powell, Frank Foster, Frank West, Kathy Basie, and Marshall Royal. You've been listening to Getting It Done. Next week, we hope to have Stan Kenton. So until then, have a good evening. You have been listening to Getting It Done.